Okay. Well, what I'd like to do today is to share some information on some preliminary work that we've been doing with elderberry. So this disease has been known for many, many years. Some of the first spore stages were actually first described back in 1889 and finally fully described in 1891. It is a rust fungus caused by fungi that requires two living hosts. So one being elderberry, and the second one is a carex species or sedge. And there are actually 13 sedge species that are known to serve as alternate hosts. So there's you see two different sort of disease symptoms, one on the leaflets, and then you also get this very severe twisting and malformation on the petioles. So as our industry begins to grow, we're seeing more and more pest and disease issues, and so our growers are wanting to know, does it merit control or not? There are five spore stages of this rust, the first one being the pycnea, to appear first on the elderberry leaves, and then we go to the aesia, and then we go to uridinia spores, and where it's on the sedge, and then it completes its life cycle there. But I'd like to take a little closer look at this. These are magnified pictures, so this is actually quite small. But the first symptoms to appear are very early in the springs when the leaves start to grow and they're not fully expanded yet. You'll see these pycnea spores on the upper side of the leaf. So then these germinate, and then down here you can see a cross-section of these pycnea, and these germinate, form mycelia, and then go to the next stage, which are the aesia spores. So these are then on the undersides of the leaves, and if you look at them under this microscope, they actually look like little fried eggs with these long chains of spores. And again, here you see an individual aesial cup, and then these will separate and disperse the spores, which then move on to the sedge. And this is Frank's sedge over here. And here you can see these uridinia spores are sort of this rusty brown color lesions. Now this stage is really important. This is the repeating stage, and so this is where you get reinfection on the sedge plant and also on nearby plants, and so it can actually cause an epidemic at this stage. And these spores are really easy to recognize because they're very thick-walled and spiny at this stage. So then after that, the next stage are the teleospores, and this is an herbarium species. So up here, we used to confirm that, yes, indeed, we were working with Fusinia rust. And the teleospores are the ones that overwinter, easy to recognize because of this two-celled shape. And here you can see the structures there. Okay, then the last stage are the basidious spores that germinate in the spring, produce mycelia that then reinfect the elderberry, and so the cycle continues. So with that introduction then, we finally get to the study that we did. And as I mentioned, the growers really want to know, is this disease worth controlling? Does it merit attention or not? So we wanted to see what the effect of when we inoculated the elderberry plants, did it affect vegetative growth, fruit yield, and juice quality? Now, the second thing that we also wanted to do is second year, we wanted to grow these plants without reinfection, because just because you have infection one year, on your plants, they may or may not be reinfected the second year. So does it really matter? So this was the first study that we conducted. And so to do this, we got American elderberry plants. Bob Gordon is the cultivar that most of our growers are really interested in. and propagated these, grew them for a year, and then in the fall of 2013, we dug up and confirmed that we sedge plants to confirm that we really did have this disease. So we overwintered the plants, and then the next spring fertilized them, cut them back to 8 nodes, and then we were ready to do our infection. But first we took 8 plants and sprayed them with propiconazole as a protectant fungicide, so those would serve as our controls. So then we established our moist chambers, and to do this we had our chambers, inverted a pot, put 10 liters of water in the bottom to get our humidity up. This is really crude, but it works. And so then we took the elderberry plants and to get them ready for inoculation. So we took 1 centimeter square piece of sedge and simply smeared it. We had tried to grow on culture and do other inoculations and weren't really successful because we really don't know, you know, what the ideal temperatures are, incubation times, you know, what are the optimum conditions for this disease. So we simply took this piece of sedge plant and smeared it on the center leaflet of 6 individual leaves on 8 plants. And then we sealed them back up and incubated them for 48 hours at 18C. Now, for our control plants, we also sprayed those with sterile water, sealed them up, and incubated them as well. So after this time, then we moved them out to our nursery area at our research station. And just to get an idea of what our infection level was, in mid-June of that year, we actually counted the infection points on each plant, and we did have a good infection rate of 690 pustules per plant. So then we allowed the plants to grow, collected the fruit clusters at peak ripeness, and then recorded fresh berry weight and froze that fruit, and then collected our leaves and petioles in October. We also, after we overwintered them the next spring, when we were cutting them back again to 8 nodes, we collected that material as well for dry weight. So then we did composite juice samples, since, you know, these plants weren't all that huge, to determine pH, titratable acidity, and soluble solids. So then this spring, after we cut the plants back, then we just maintained them in the nursery area. We did not reinfect them, and we did not reapply fungicide. But throughout the growing season this year, then they were not infected with rust. So here you can see some of our results. The infected plants certainly had reduced yield. Berry number was not affected, but berry weight was. Also, harvest period was prolonged when the plants were infected with rust, and we also got a reduction in dry weight. When we looked at our juice characteristics, there were no statistical differences in soluble solids, pH, or titratable acidity. So about a month ago, then, we counted the number of cymes per plant, when we did not reinfect, and certainly we see a reduction in the number of cymes produced this year. Okay, so in conclusion then, so this was a high infection level of the rust, and so we did see this reduction in vegetative growth, yield, berry size, and a prolonged harvest period, but the juice characteristics were not affected. So this next year, we've already repropagated plants and been growing them this season, and so our next step in this study is actually to get a broader range of infection so that we see what that critical level is, infection rate, where we see reduction that might merit some type of control. Now, I'd just like to take a few seconds and talk about control. You would think it'd be really simple, but it's really not. First of all, most of our growers I'd say 99.9% of our growers want to produce organically. So that's limiting control right there. So the first thing we need to do is to get rid of the sedge plants. That might be the simplest thing. But these have rhizomes, and they're really difficult to control. And usually, if you're familiar with sedge, it grows in lower areas in the field, maybe wet spots where you don't get good drainage. So it's really hard to dig or remove this. So you would have to really apply maybe with a systemic herbicide and have repeated fall applications to control that. Alternatively, you'd spray with a fungicide in the spring, but the problem, again, most of our growers are organic, and to my knowledge, there are no labeled fungicides that are clearly labeled for elderberry to control rust. Now, some of them may say they'll control some diseases for caneberry, but really there's nothing specific for that. So you can see that, you know, this can be, in certain situations, could be a very challenging disease to control. Okay, with that, do you have any questions? Paul.
Two quick ones. One, just to confirm, you're talking about sedges. Is the common yellow nut sedge weed that we encounter everywhere one of the potential hosts?
No, it is not. I mean, it is nut sedge is sedge, but it is not one of the confirmed. Now, that doesn't mean that it might not be, but it's not one of them listed in the literature as being a host. But it could be. I don't know. I've never tested it. We're just, the common one that we have is Frankii, which is called Frank sedge, and so we know it occurs on that, and then just the other ones that have occurred in the literature.
Yeah, there was just a comment. It looked as though maybe it wasn't statistically significant that the soluble solids were higher in your affected.
Right. Okay. Comment that it did, although not statistically different, soluble solids numerically looked higher, and that's probably because we had reduced yield on the infected one, so we have higher concentrations in the smaller yield plants. So, you know, that might prove, again, lower in soluble solids, but again, most, you know, for elderberry, people are processing usually the juice into another product, and they add a load of sugar to it. So there is a lot of sugar that's added, or honey, or some kind of sweetener to the products. Now, the other potential market for elderberry, I mean, the other main market are simply the flowers themselves for tea. And so then they're not even looking at fruit yield at all. So they're just looking for those flowers. Another question.
A comment, actually, about your the issues with IR4 and labeling. Working with emergent fruit crops myself, I found there are issues with labeling pesticides for them. And just, you might, as a suggestion, you don't necessarily have to have the exact fruit
sure.
labeled on it. But elderberry may fall under the small fruits, bushberry type.
Right.
And if that's labeled on the pesticide, it might be okay to utilize that, whether it's an organic pesticide or not.
Right. And a few of the herbicides, fungicides, or other insecticides will list cane berries. So I don't know legally if caneberry, if you can really say elderberry is a caneberry or not. I think that's kind of a gray area. But in our case, like I said, most of the growers, nearly all of them, are organic. So, but we do our best. Thank you very much.
Thank you.